Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, August 7th, 2015. Former SPLM detainees who rejoined the government recently are putting more conditions for peace in South Sudan at the talks in Addis Ababa.
In our position, in the government position, we have deleted the list of the FDs from those who will be participating in the ratios. Not that only, but we don't even recognize their presence now in the peace talks as an entity.
And South Sudanese IDPs living in a UN camp say they need peace now because they have suffered enough.
I don't believe that I'm displaced in my own country. So I will be like someone who are in prison and then suddenly you'll be free outside. So it will be a great actually if we can go outside.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. We first go to Addis Ababa for the latest on the South Sudan peace talks. As the latest round of peace talks gets down to the business of negotiating today in Addis Ababa, delegates from the South Sudan government and armed opposition appear to be at loggerheads already. A source at the talks, who asked not to be named, says the first day of negotiations are focusing on governance and power sharing. Our source tells us that the government is asking for 70% of seats and ministerial portfolios in a transitional government, 20% for the armed opposition movement led by former Vice President Riek Machar, the SPLM in opposition, and 10% for other political parties. The SPLM in opposition is asking for the opposite, and neither proposal is in line with the IGAD-led mediation team is proposing. Namely, the government should have 53% of ministerial portfolios and the SPLM in opposition should have 33%. The compromise deal also gives a group of former political detainees and other political parties 14% of ministerial portfolios between them and an unspecified number of seats in parliament. But in another twist at the talks today, government negotiators are saying the former detainees should not be considered as a separate negotiating party because they have reincorporated into the government. South Sudan Information Minister and government spokesman Michael Makui says he is surprised that the former detainees are even at the talks.
It is rather strange that they have now come to claim that they are not part and parcel of the government, of the SPLM in government, but they continue to stand as an entity. In our position, in the government position, we have deleted the list of the FDs from those who will be participating in the ratios. Not that only, but we don't even recognize their presence now in the peace talks as an entity.
The talks ran until 9 o'clock in the evening and will resume tomorrow. The expanded mediation team, known as IGAD Plus, has set a deadline of August 17 for the warring sides to sort out their differences and sign a deal to end 20 months of fighting. IGAD Plus said in a statement released today that it stands behind the Addis Ababa peace process but is concerned that some parties have been prevented from attending the talks. Yesterday, we reported that opposition leader Lama Kol and six other opposition politicians were barred by police at Juba International Airport from boarding a plane bound for Ethiopia for the negotiations. IGAD Plus notes in a statement that the opposition politicians were invited to the talks and should be at the negotiating table. Meanwhile, the European Union and Germany have also released a statement expressing their commitment to the talks in Addis Ababa. German Ambassador to South Sudan, Johannes Lehn, shared a statement about the talks which Germany's Foreign Office issued yesterday.
The German Federal Foreign Office welcomes the willingness of both parties to the conflict in South Sudan to get back to the negotiation table in order to develop a solution for the problems in this country. The fighting in South Sudan, which has already led to a humanitarian catastrophe, must have an immediate end. In particular, the people in the refugee camps urgently need help and they need to return to their homelands. South Sudan must now regain the path of peace, democratization, economic development, and respect for human rights. It is important to find a political solution and a way for reconciliation. Germany is committed to support the peace process in South Sudan, and the German federal government calls on the conflicting parties to negotiate on the basis of the current IGAD compromise proposal a final peace agreement. This final peace agreement is still an open document. It includes an open debate on the peace process, and therefore the German government calls on the South Sudanese government to start negotiations in good faith and with immediate effect.
We have talked for months now about the suffering of the South Sudanese people caused by the 20 months of fighting. Today, we hear what it is like to live in one of those camps for internally displaced persons, or IDPs, run by the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. VOA fellow Tito Justin has this report.
More than 160,000 IDPs are living in enemy protection of civilian sites across South Sudan because of the ongoing conflict. Yesterday, dozens of women and children marched peacefully inside the protection of civilian sites run by enemies in Juba. "Enough is enough," they chanted. "We want peace." Kobom Kobong, the community leader in the PO3 camp in Juba, says IDPs like himself live in horrid conditions. Kobong says more than 50 people share the same latrine, which he says exceeds the emergency threshold standard for such camps. And he says that's not all.
Children, they have no good schools, and secondary school even. Second to that, the food that we are getting from UN is not enough. The shelters, especially toilets. So when you come and see the toilet, actually you can see that the situation is very, very terrible.
The IDPs are being helped by various UN agencies, including the World Food Programme, and non-governmental organizations such as Oxfam, Doctors Without Borders, and the International Red Cross Society. But even with all that help, IDPs like Mayen Yuani, who lives at PO3 in Juba, says it's not enough.
We are now in protection of civilian side. We get feeding from international NGO or agency. We are protected by the Italian economy, but we are yet suffering about the threat that is given to us as we are now in the government-controlled area.
And there have been reports of violence just outside the camps. In June, the UN acting spokesperson Joy Contreras told VOA that Animus is only responsible for the protection of the IDPs within the camp. He made the statement shortly after 5 IDPs, including 4 women, were shot and killed in a market near the UN POC site. The IDPs say they don't feel safe in the camps. Kobong says women have been raped and young people often disappear and are never seen again. Kobong says the violence will continue unless the two sides reach a peace deal.
Indeed, there's no another option, actually, because without peace, it means death and suffering will continue. So the people who suffer are those vulnerable groups. Therefore, there's no need for the war in fact to drag their feet instead of finally signing the peace and relieve the suffering of the people.
Bakita Steven has been in the Juba IDP camp since the beginning of the conflict in late 2013. She says she's tired of living under such terrible conditions and wants to go home.
I don't believe that. I mean, I'm displaced in my own country. So I will be like someone who are in prison and then suddenly you'll be free outside. So it will be a great, actually, if we can go outside.
The East African bloc IGAD opened a new round of peace talks for South Sudan in Addis Ababa yesterday with a plea that the warring sides agree to a compromise and end the long conflict. IGAD is expecting the warring parties to sign a compromise peace plan by its August 17th deadline. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
6 South Sudanese citizens are missing after fighting broke out between South Sudanese and Ugandan residents living along 2 shared countries' border. The head of the Border Crisis Management Committee in Magui County says the Uganda People's Defense Force, or UPDF, has displaced more than 300 South Sudanese over the past week. Again, we hear from VOA fellow Tito Justin from Washington.
Magui County Border Crisis Management Committee Chairman Okinyi Lam says The latest incident began when UPDF established a barracks on a hill in Magi County a week ago and began ordering South Sudanese residents to leave.
They use heavy machine guns, tanks, mambas, they're using mambas, the mortars. The way they reacted to us, now this is a total aggression of our community by the Ugandan government. And they confirm, even the LSU file that is called Akia, confirm that they really use a military assault on us.
Lam says the two communities can resolve their issues without violence, as they did before Ugandan troops came on the scene. The border area in dispute intersects land claimed by Acholi tribes living in both South Sudan and Uganda. The communities living in the area have farmed on both sides of the border since Sudan gained independence in 1956 and Uganda in 1962. The borders were demarcated by the British during each country's independence milestone. Lam says the Ugandan army is trying to take the land by force without consulting community members in South Sudan.
You see, the communities, they are aware of what is happening, and they know this land belongs to the people of South Sudan, especially in Pajok. But the government of Museveni, they are trying to snatch away this territory of the land.
Lam says no state or national security personnel routinely patrol the area. He says only 7 national police officers were dispatched to the scene when the armed Ugandan troops ordered South Sudanese to leave the land. Louis Lobong, the governor of Eastern Equatoria State, visited the area on Wednesday, but Lam says Lobong failed to talk about the security problem in the area.
As I speak to you, there is no even single SPLF forces which was sent to come and rescue the situation. It was only governor's visit. That was the time when we saw SPLF forces who came to protect only governor. These are bodyguards of the governor. No SPLF forces were on the ground.
Paul Napon, the deputy speaker of Eastern Equatoria's Legislative Assembly, disagrees. He says the governor's visit helped restore calm.
What we have had today is that the Ugandan army that actually entered 2 kilometers into Pogé, they have now gone back. They have retreated back to their former position. So it means there is already something, already being dialogue above. Because the idea is we don't want any fight with the Ugandans. Ugandans are brothers.
Napon says border committees from Uganda and South Sudan will meet with the local communities and try to resolve the border dispute amicably. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
Philip Thonaleo in Juba contributed to this report. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. 5 South Sudanese who are part of a fellowship program for young Africans here in Washington say they are going home to help their country. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you ensure that your drinking water is clean?
I drink mineral water, or if I'm not able to access mineral water, I make sure my water has been treated with water again.
First, from the area where you tap, maybe water, tap water, and also you boil it, then you make sure that whatever you are putting that water in is clean.
Boiling, there is using what water guard and storing the water clean containers, the boiled one, because not every water in a container is clean.
Always make sure that the water is boiled nicely, put in nice covered containers.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The German embassy in South Sudan weighed in on the government's decision to close the Citizen and Arai newspapers along with the Free Voice compound in Juba. German ambassador to South Sudan, Johannes Lehin, said yesterday that Germany, together with its European Union partners, along with missions from the United Kingdom, Norway, Switzerland, and Canada, are all very concerned about the government's action.
The German government, together with its partners in the European Union, like France, the Netherlands, Italy, Sweden, the United Kingdom, and also with the heads of mission of Canada, Norway, and Switzerland, are very concerned about the shutdown of the Citizen and the Al Rai newspaper and of the Office of Free Voice South Sudan. Freedom of media and freedom of expression are core principles of democracy. Free and diverse independent media constitute one of the cornerstones for a democratic society, and they need to facilitate the free flow of information and ideas and ensuring transparency and accountability. We urge the authorities of the Republic of South Sudan to guarantee the exercise of these freedoms in conformity with international standards.
Ambassador Lehin says Germany and its partners urge the South Sudan government to reopen the offices of the three media outlets and allow freedom of the press in accordance with international standards. South Sudan is not alone when it comes to media crackdown in Africa. Several journalists working for Afrique Media, one of Africa's biggest television channels, have gone into hiding after Cameroon police stormed their offices in Yaoundé and ordered them to stop broadcasting. Cameroon's National Communication Council says it gave orders because Afrique Media has repeatedly failed to respect ethics. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Peter Issoka, acting president of Cameroon's National Communication Council, NCC, says Afrique Media defied a one-month suspension it was given in June of this year and continued broadcasting. He says two journalists working for the media company also did not respect a six-month suspension they were given for what officials say was repeated professional misconduct.
The divisional officer for Yaoundé 2 and a number of officials of law and order went to that media house and sealed it. But as we hear with the latest information was that they are still broadcasting, but it's the responsibility of the divisional officer or the administration to follow up on the measures they've taken.
The Communication Council also accused Afrique Media of making unjustifiable accusations likely to impair the image and honor of personalities, institutions, and foreign countries. Kininsom of the Cameroon Association of English-Speaking Journalists says the channel should have respected the suspension order.
When we talk about the press, we should also talk about ethics. If we pretend that we are free with the violation of ethics that we are seeing, one day get up and discover that the journalism that we're claiming to be protecting is no longer there. How free is the journalist who has just walked into the profession without even trying to see what the ABC of journalism is all about?
Mani Tada Juliana and Muhammad Bashir Ladan, the two journalists who were suspended and their colleagues have not been seen since the police sealed their office, but the channel, headquartered in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, has continued broadcasting. Last year, Reporters Without Borders said the very high number of summonses and suspensions handed out in Cameroon was an indication the NCC had taken a tough line towards journalists. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
And now for some good news from WAU. 23 women who were discharged from WAU Teaching Hospital in Western Bahr Al Ghazal this afternoon after undergoing successful operations to repair obstetric fistula. Dimo Silva Aurelio has the story for VOA from WAU.
Today is a new beginning for the women. They walked out of WAU Teaching Hospital with smiles on their faces and words of praise for the medical team that helped to transform their lives.
I am thankful to these people here in the town. I am now better.
That is 30-year-old Agum Nial. She suffered the shame of fistula for 2 years. Fistula causes incontinence and is linked to obstructed labor, a leading cause of maternal mortality. 2 years ago, officials estimated that more than 60,000 South Sudanese women suffer from obstetric fistula, in which a hole develops between the birth canal and one or more of the woman's internal organs during difficult labor. One of the populations most vulnerable to fistula are child brides, like Abung Achor, now 17. Achor traveled to WAU from Awil in neighboring northern Bahr Al Ghazal estate for surgery to repair the fistula she developed during the birth of her first child last year. Today, she walked out of the hospital in WAU with a new lease of life.
I am filled with joy. I will go and talk to my people. I thought I would always have this injury, but now I am fine and ready to tell others about this treatment.
Dr. Bakit Mawen is the World Teaching Hospital Director General. He says the 23 women who were discharged today are completely cured. He says more women are undergoing the reparative surgery and he expects them to follow in the footsteps of women like Achor and Nial.
We have actually received until today 114 patients and we have operated 75 patients and we have discharged 23 patients who have been operated. And from today, we will start discharging patients because we account them they have been totally healed. And our target was about 150, and the date is the 19th of August. But still, if there are more patients, I think we will think of extending the time for to operate all the patients.
The Western Baal Ghazal Ministry of Health advised the women, and hopefully their husbands too, to abstain from sex for at least 6 months to ensure that they fully heal. Women are also being advised to have their babies delivered in health facilities with qualified obstetricians or midwives present in the event of any problems. The U.S.-based Fistula Foundation says fewer than 6 in 10 women in developing countries give birth with any trained professional present. The Fistula Foundation also says that around 1 in 7 of all births has complications, and if no medical professional is present to treat the woman, she is likely to develop a disabling injury like fistula and could even die. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio reporting from WOW.
For the second year in a row, 500 young Africans took part in the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program for 6 weeks, including 5 ambitious young South Sudanese. South Sudan in Focus reporter Ayen Bior tells us what they have learned and what they plan to do with that knowledge.
In South Sudan, only about a third of girls go to school. Poor resident David Malual says he applied for the fellowship because he wants to make sure that most South Sudanese girls are not only enrolled in school, but stay in school.
Because I do believe without women being educated, we will not prosper. There will still be too much problems. Poverty will not go away. As we say, there will still be a lot of corruption, and we will remain illiterate.
President Barack Obama spoke to Malual and the other African fellows on the first day of their fellowship in Washington.
We've brought you here because we benefit from your leadership. But we're counting on you to work together to make sure that you're also reaching back to those who are going to be coming behind you.
Malual, who is the Dean of the College of Education at Dr. John Gereng Memorial University of Science and Technology in Bor, says the fellowship has reinvigorated his passion to work with the youth in South Sudan, who he says will be the backbone of the South Sudanese economy.
Without them, without young people, there will be no production. I mean, in agriculture, in education, in trade and industry, in many, many other parts, you need youth. Even the security department is youth. So youth have got major impact.
32-year-old Rufus Ambrose Boho, another South Sudanese fellow, shares Malal's passion for improving South Sudan's educational opportunities for youth. Boho, the medical director at Central Equatoria State's Kajo Keji Hospital, says the fellowship has given him a chance to work closely with American doctors and medical professionals about maternal health and curbing the spread of sexually transmitted infections and deadly diseases.
Like when you have a lot of malaria in your area, how do you tackle it? You don't need only to have drugs to treat people. But you need to think of where is the infection coming from and you target that area rather than just going for treatment.
Boho says a lot of the problems that women face in his community could be prevented if they had more awareness about basic health problems. When he returns to Central Equatoria in a few weeks, his goal is to implement a statewide campaign in the primary and secondary schools that will change misconceptions and stigmas commonly associated with sexually transmitted infections.
When I was looking at the rate of women that I get with sexual transmitted infections and with young ladies that are brought to me in the hospital, pregnant sometimes with all these problems, and I was thinking, what is the best way to tackle this issue, to bring that thing down? So when I came here and in several discussions with people, I came to realize that this will be my starting point. I start from there as I educate these young girls to take care of themselves. They become a better woman in the society.
35-year-old Margaret Tabu Saboon couldn't agree more. Saboon, the only female fellow from South Sudan this year, works with a nonprofit which connects underprivileged youth with universities all over the world. She plans to go back and help young men and women have what they need to get started on their careers.
It's very critical that you start, mentoring youth when they are so young, up to the teenage age. That's the critical age where they can start forging the kind of careers they want to develop in life. So when I go back, my aim is to expand the program that we already are running under the United World Colleges, where we provide scholarships, to include a sort of a mentoring hub.
All five South Sudanese fellows plan to return home in the next few weeks and help other young South Sudanese move their country forward. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. South Sudan government and rebel negotiators appear to be at odds in the first day of face-to-face talks in Addis. A source at the talks says the two sides are concentrating on governance and power sharing. The government reportedly is asking for 70% of the seats and ministerial posts during a transitional government, 20% for the armed opposition and 10% for all other political parties. The SPLM-IO wants the exact opposite. More than 160,000 IDPs are living in unmissed protection of civilian sites across South Sudan because of the fighting. Yesterday, dozens of women and children marched peacefully inside a POC site in Juba. And finally, six South Sudanese citizens are missing after fighting broke out between South Sudanese and Ugandan residents living along the two countries' shared border in a dispute over farmland. The head of the Border Crisis Management Committee in that state's Magui County says he thinks the issue can be resolved peacefully. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol. And that's the end of our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Mama Sora by Freedom Boys.
Bitu Brothers, Naski and Freedom Boys. Nam, Mina WJ, Timogan. Let them know. I am. Go. Na, na, na.
Masora pata lechua ala makalela inti bonwen arubayo ala makalela ana suta mazotani ana makalela masora pata lechua ala makalela
zoya zopi matam korokore makwes eti guruche emoru samal jemna pichu lupi benbita mamara bitai pichu nuna marazo tu hasi swat ite hata lukwili lipi beta zot ana magalela defi kasto mara bitai bidor kospi disco ita karami razi tobe kalam gurush achangurush alela te mafam kwez mara bitai mbabu shuba ana kwe sama yun bito make heba ana kwe begin bato achan razmi to karami be kalam gurush is up walking by mamara bitai one more step.
We have been listening to Freedom Boys with the song Mama Sora. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. You have a peaceful weekend and keep your hopes for peace alive by joining us again next week for more updates from Addis Ababa here on South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Yambikulana, Abu Rasen, Asa Intibuga